Welcome to the Preaching Matters Podcast. My name is Alan Carr, and I am your host. The Preaching Matters Podcast exists to help preachers become better at what God has called them to do. And in these podcasts, we talk about all matters related to preaching because we believe preaching matters. So thank you for being here today, and I hope the episode is a blessing to you. Now, just up front, if you would, please go to your favorite podcast directory and leave us a positive review. It'll be a help to us. It'll be a great blessing. And that's the best way you can help any podcast. You can reach me at alancarr@gmail.com if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for our future episodes. With that being said, thank you again for being here. Let's go to today's episode and talk about preaching. Welcome back to the Preaching Matters Podcast. This is Alan Carr. Thank you so much for being with me today here on the Preaching Matters Podcast. Of course, this is episode 100. Isn't that amazing? We have reached a milestone today, and I'm grateful to have you along for the ride. I praise God for what He's allowed me to experience over these last 2 years, just great conversations, great emails and contacts from people who have listened to the podcast. And I'm grateful for that. And I love to talk about preaching. So why don't you reach out and talk to me, alancarr@gmail.com. Let me know what you think, what you'd like to hear, what you don't want to hear any more about. If there's something that I do that is extremely irritating, please let me know that as well. But thank you for being part of the listening audience, and thank you for tuning in to episode 100. Today, I'm not necessarily going to talk about anything related to preaching, except something that I am preaching. In fact, as I record this, I'll be preaching this sermon in this evening's service at church, and I want to just share with you some things that I'm going to be saying to our people because I believe it might be a help to you. It might encourage you. It might challenge you. It might even bring you deeper in your relationship with God as far as prayer is concerned. And one of the things I want to talk about is this matter of praying in Jesus' name. Now, you read several times in the Gospels where in John 14:13, Jesus said, "Whatsoever ye ask in my name." In John 15:16, he said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name." And then in John 16:23, he said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name." And so we have that construct at least three times in the last evening of our Lord's life. Before he went to Calvary, he's talking to his disciples. He's sharing with them about his leaving and about how they're to operate and what they're to do when he's gone. And he tells them that they are to pray in his name when they talk to the Father. So I want to just talk to you for a few minutes about praying in Jesus' name. Now, you and I are commanded to pray, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Then the last one I'll give you, 1 Timothy 2:1, but this is by no means all. There are many others that tell us we are to pray. In 1 Timothy 2:1, the Bible says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." It's very clear from the New Testament that we are to pray. So we know we should pray, and hopefully we all do pray. But when we learn to pray, whether it's from our parents, our grandparents, or just being saved into a praying church like I was, all of our prayers seem to share a common characteristic, regardless of what we pray about. We always end our prayers by saying, "In Jesus' name." Well, Jesus told us to pray in His name, right? So we add that on the end. We may say, "In the name of Jesus," or "In the name of Christ," or "In your name," or whatever. but there are other ways of saying it, but our prayers usually end the same. So where did this tendency to pray in the name of Jesus come from? Because the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer, the model prayer, whatever you want to call it, it does not end that way. And when you look, you realize that we don't have a single example of anyone in the New Testament who prayed a prayer ending with the words "in Jesus' name." Acts 2:38 talks about people baptizing in Jesus' name. In Acts 3:6, we find people healing in Jesus' name. In Acts 4:18, we find people teaching in His name. In Acts 16:18, we find people casting out demons in the name of Jesus. In Acts 4:30, we find people performing miracles in the name of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." But nobody ever prays in the name of Jesus in the New Testament. Don't you find that odd? Have you ever thought about that? Well, you know, as I've already said, the night before Jesus was betrayed, the night before He died, Jesus tells us that we are to ask things in His name. And I think in this repetition from Jesus, we see how critical this kind of prayer will be for the followers of Jesus. And we learn several reasons for Christians to pray in His name. So I want to examine what the Lord says about praying in the name of Jesus. And as we think about what He says in John 14, 15, and 16, and by the way, I'm not focusing in on a preaching paragraph or a single verse, but I'm taking three chapters and preaching from that an expository overview of praying in Jesus' name. And what I want to do is give you some reasons about as to why we should pray in Jesus' name, what that teaches us, what it does for us and in us, and how it has the potential to transform our prayer lives. So notice first, Jesus' name represents access. Here's the thing. When you know Jesus, God listens to you. And when we pray in His name, we are rehearsing before God our only reason for believing the Father will hear our prayers. God doesn't hear us because we're good religious people. We only dare to bow before the Father because the Son chose to bow upon the cross. And before Jesus encourages His disciples to pray in His name, He says to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father," how? "But by me," in John 14:6. Jesus is saying, no one comes to God unless they come to Him through me. But everyone who comes to God in my name will be received, heard, and loved. So that means His life, His cross, and His resurrection is the catalyst which lifts our prayers up into heaven. In John 16:26 through 27, Jesus said, "At that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father Himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God." In other words, Jesus seems to be saying, I don't have to ask God anything for you anymore, because in me you can speak to the Father yourself. Isn't that a blessing? The name of Jesus gives us access to our Father in heaven, and God hears us because He loves His Son Jesus. And He hears us because we are in His Son, Jesus. So that's the first reason. Christ's name represents access. Number two, Jesus' name represents affection. When we pray in the name of Jesus, God hears us because He loves us. Jesus said in John 15:16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." Now, whether you like it or not, the Bible teaches God chose you. He doesn't only listen to our prayers because Christ died for us, but because long before His Son was born and took up the cross, God had already chosen us as His own. Based on nothing in us or about us, God decided to love us and to save us in Christ. We may differ about the mechanics of God's choice of us and how that works, but the results are the same. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Now listen again to John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What Jesus is saying there is, one reason I chose you is so that your prayers might have power. That means every prayer prayed in his name is an opportunity to remember the undeserved wonder of the salvation we enjoy in Christ Jesus. The God of heaven and earth, the one who made all that is, the one whom you rejected and assaulted in your sin, chose to love you. And if God had not chosen you in his love and grace, you would never have believed in Christ, much less pray in his name. Remember, Jesus said, John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Without Jesus and his decision to save you, you would be dead in your sins, and so would I. We would be lost in darkness, but he loved us, and now we can pray in his name. So each time you pray, remember why you have the privilege of prayer. You can pray because of his infinite love for you. So the Lord's name, Jesus' name, represents access, and Jesus' name represents affection. But the third point is, Jesus' name represents authority. The name of Jesus reminds us that God can do anything. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he left his disciples, but at the same time, he didn't really leave them. Before he rose into the clouds, he said to them in Matthew 28:20, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, how could Jesus say that even as he was leaving them? Because he had told them earlier, in John 14:16-17, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You see, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus still lives within us. Therefore, his name is a constant reminder of his abiding, satisfying, empowering presence. Jesus said in John 15:4-5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Anything is possible through prayer when we pray in the name of Jesus. And apart from the authority and power of his name, we can do nothing. So his name represents access. His name represents affection. His name represents authority. His name represents armor, A-R-M-O-R. The mighty name of Jesus, in other words, gives us safety. Through his name, we are reminded that God keeps our faith. As he comes to the end of his final words, Jesus says to his disciples, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. John 16:1. Now, offended there means to cause to stumble or fall away. So Jesus is saying, in essence, I repeatedly told you to pray in my name so that you will not fall away from me, so that you won't fall into temptation and make shipwreck of your faith. You see, fearful days were coming that would strain their faith to the point of breaking. And so Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Through his name we are given armor to protect us from stumbling and falling away from him. This armor also helps us achieve victory over the world and its evil. So our prayers in the name of Jesus are accomplishing great things out in the world and among those we love, and they're doing something supernatural as well inside of us. Through our prayers in Christ's name, God is fortifying our faith in God. He is exerting His infinite power to guard our love for Him. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "We who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Prayer is perhaps the most significant way God develops within us the kind of heart and life that pleases Him and that perseveres to the end. Philippians 2:12 through 13 reminds us, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, listen, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." So prayer in the name of Jesus is one way God armors His people, protects His people from the world and from themselves. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are putting on our armor for the daily warfare of life in this wicked world. So the name of Jesus represents access. The name of Jesus represents affection. The name of Jesus represents authority. The name of Jesus represents armor. But number five, yes, there are 6 points here. Number five, Jesus' name represents assurance. Now, praying in Jesus' name gives us confidence, because God will never dismiss His Son. And why won't the Father ignore prayers prayed in the name of His Son? Jesus tells us in John 14:13-14, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now the glory of God Himself is at stake in our prayers, even in our seemingly small and insignificant prayers, and God will not surrender or ever violate His glory. That means no prayer is insignificant to God. He will answer our prayers in Jesus' name because He is fiercely devoted to exalting the name of Jesus with all His sovereign power. For God to disregard requests made in the name of Jesus would be to abandon His reason for creating the universe in the first place, and that reason is His own glory. So our prayers aren't just in the name of Jesus, but in essence for the name of Jesus. And that means when we pray in Jesus' name, we join Jesus in doing what He loves to do most, what He's utterly and eternally resolved to do, and that is glorifying His Father. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are assured that we will be heard by God, and we are confident that He will answer our prayers for His glory. So, we've noticed 5 reasons already. Jesus' name represents access. Jesus' name represents affection. Jesus' name represents authority. Jesus' name represents armor. And Jesus' name represents assurance. But let me give you number 6, another reason. Jesus' name represents an award. Now, Jesus gives us at least one more great incentive to pray in His name always. So in John 16:23-24, Jesus said, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Isn't that a blessing? In John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So putting these verses together, we learn that God answers our prayers in Jesus' name for the sake of His glory, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And God answers our prayers in that name because He wants us to experience the fullness of His joy. He says that your joy might be full. These are the 2 grand ambitions of a healthy prayer life. Number 1, the glory of God, and number 2, the fullness of our joy in Him. And because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him, those 2 ambitions are not 2, really, they're 1. They're 2 sides of the same prayer, if you will. John Piper writes, and I quote, "The unity of these 2 goals, the glory of God and the joy of His children, is clearly preserved in the act of prayer. Therefore, Christians will, above all, be people devoted to earnest prayer, just as a thirsty deer kneels down to drink at the brook, so the characteristic posture of the Christian is on his knees, end quote. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we bring glory to God and we experience ultimate spiritual joy in our lives. Now, we often end our prayers by saying in Jesus' name. And sometimes when we do, we rush through those words without thinking about what we say. When we pray in Jesus' name, we ask God to give us what Jesus would ask for. Let me illustrate. At our church, we need things, right? The church has to have things to operate. You might need food for a fellowship. You might need Sunday school material, songbooks, or anything else that requires money around the church. And at our church, we do nothing with cash, so either one of our treasurers may sign a check for someone to use to purchase what the church needs. And that signed check, if you think about it, it represents the will of the church. Now, the person with the check could go out and buy groceries, they could put gas in their car, or they could buy some trinket for themselves. But if they did that, they would be violating the church's will. They would be using the church's name to get something the church does not want. Not only would it be an insult against the church, but it would be a crime and a sin. So I believe praying in Jesus' name works the same way. We can only attach his name to prayers that ask for what he would ask for. In other words, attaching Jesus' name to a selfish prayer is to take his name in vain. Attaching his name to a prayer that does not glorify God is to take his name in vain. Using the name of Jesus to ask for something that he would never ask for and for what is not God's will is to use his name in vain. So the name of Jesus is not a blank check. You shouldn't use prayer to get what you want, because the Bible clearly tells us God will hear and answer prayers that ask for what he wants. And in 1 John 5:14-15, the Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." The name of Jesus is mighty. It is a name God takes very seriously. In fact, God says the name of Jesus is a name which is above every name in Philippians 2:9. So let us be sure we only attach his name to prayers that are prayed in the will of the Father. And when you reach the end of your prayer and you say in Jesus' name, don't rush through that phrase. Slow down. Savor the words and remember the power, promises, and provisions attached to his name. Pray in Jesus' name, but as you do, remember whose name you are speaking and remember the proper way to use it, which is for the glory of God, which in return will fulfill your joy. Well, that's what I had on my heart today. I wanted to share that with you. I hope it'll make you think. I hope it'll draw you back to those passages and cause you to look deeper into our custom of praying in the name of Christ. And don't think I'm against it for a minute, but I think it should be used properly. I think his name should never be attached to anything that God doesn't want. So we've got to pray carefully, and we've got to think about what we pray. We've got to yield to the Spirit of God when we pray and keep our hearts and minds open to what God is doing in us as we pray. So thank you for being here today. Thank you for spending some time with me. And I hope this has been a challenge and a refreshment to you. And if you like it, let me know. If you disagree with me, let me know. But whatever you do, let me know. And whatever you do, go and subscribe to the podcast and leave us a 5-star review if you can. And tell somebody else about it, for goodness sake, because we believe preaching matters. That's why I do this. And apparently that's why you're here, because you believe preaching matters too. Well, God bless you on the next week when we'll come back and talk about something else related to preaching. But until then, you take care of yourselves, stay straight with God, and keep preaching, because preaching matters. Thank you for listening today to the Preaching Matters podcast. I hope you learned something. Hope you got some help in your ministry. Please pray until next time and come back next week when we'll have a new episode, Lord willing. Until then, keep preaching, because preaching matters.